Good afternoon. Welcome back to Equal Time. I'm Carl Ettenauer, your Monday host, and today we're having a fascinating combination of guests. We've been talking with Dr. Stephen Ilardi. He is the author of The Depression Cure, the Six-Step Program to Beat Depression Without Drugs. If you're interested in reading more about the book, well, you can go get the book at your local bookstore, but you can also go to his website, thedepressioncurebook.com. That's thedepressioncurebook.com. Now, this cure was inspired in part by the lack of depression, clinical depression, amongst Amish in this country. And now we're going to be joined by Eric Brende. He spent a year and a half living with a community that was very much like the Old Order Amish.
And just a reminder, this is a rebroadcast of interviews originally conducted July 20th.
Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we want to get to the details of your experience living with this community without motors or electricity and how you got there in the final part of today's show. But we want to have a conversation between you and Steve Ilardi now. So to begin with, can you tell our listeners just enough about your life with the Mennonites to help them understand a little bit of the experience that you bring to your observations and comments?
Sure. By the way, I called them Mennonites in my book because I didn't want to reveal who they really were. That was part of my agreement with living with them and writing about them. They're actually very much akin to the Amish, and they include some actual Amish amongst them. But if I were to name them, I'd be violating my agreement. It's a very unusual group. I stumbled onto them. Went on to one of them when I was taking a bus to MIT, where I was a graduate student, and I got into a conversation with him by the side of the bus at a rest stop, and one thing led to another. The next thing I knew, the next summer, I was being allowed to visit their community. Then I set up a longer stay for me and my wife that turned out to be basically an extension of my work at MIT. I was in the program for science, technology, and society, taking a critical look at the role of labor-saving devices in our society. And my thesis is very similar to that of your guest, that labor gives meaning to our lives. And if we are surrounded by labor-saving devices, we've just deprived ourselves of something that is essential to our well-being and fulfillment, physical labor. So I went to live with them. With my wife, and had a wonderful year-long experience. It was really our honeymoon. We just got married 10 days before, and I'd say that was the happiest year and a half of my life. It was definitely not depressing. And everything that you listed, your guest listed, the six-fold cure, every single one of those points was extremely relevant to my experience, including I noticed in the winter the lack of sunlight. The one time when I sort of did get the doldrums was during the winter when there was very little sun, and there was a low eave on the southern side of our house that prevented the sunlight from getting in, and I think that was part of the problem.
And how about exercise in the winter?
Yeah, there's less exercise in the winter, but you can still get exercise by doing winter chores as well. I mean, there's less of it, but you can still do it.
Did your social connections decrease during the winter?
Yeah, naturally, yeah. Because, of course, most of the work is in the warmer months and in a farming community. And the thing that I would refine, I wouldn't say it's an error or anything wrong I'm sorry, what's our guest's name again?
Steve Ilardi.
Steve Ilardi. Dr. Ilardi's thesis. The one thing that I would sort of say to refine what he's saying is that I don't think it's so much that we don't have exercise or don't have access to exercise, nutrition, sunlight, social connections, and sleep in our society today. I think the bigger issue is more that they're not available in an integrated form. So we have to get them piecemeal. Yes, we can get exercise, but we have to go to a gym. Yes, we can get a social connection, but we have to schedule it like as quality time into our schedule and plan it out in advance.
Yeah, and Eric, actually, you know, I think you and I are really on the same page there. And as I explain in the book, you know, my thesis is simply, as you say, not that these things can't be available or aren't available to some. It's the fact that we have engineered so many of them out of the routine of our lives.
Exactly, yes.
That it actually takes quite a bit of proactive effort to reintegrate them. And that's really what the premise of the book is that we can be very clever and proactive about doing the work necessary to reclaim these healing elements from the past. But it does take some effort.
Now, Steve Ilardi, one of the things that Eric Brende talks about in his book is that the jobs that he's held that haven't involved physical labor in and of themselves, but he's commuted by bicycle to them, and that has gotten him the physical labor that helps him feel better. Do you advise your clients to sell their cars?
I have at times, but no, what I say to them is, look, we need to be very clever about how we can reclaim and reintroduce these healing habits back into our lives. And if that means selling a car, then so be it. But for some people, it simply means finding ways of integrating activity, in this case, physical activity, back into their routine. Does that make sense? So in other words, I mean, here's an interesting fact for you. Evolutionarily, we actually seem to be designed to avoid physical activity when it doesn't have a clear sense of purpose and meaning. So I really like what Eric is saying about the life of the Amish involves so much physical activity that has an immediate sense of meaning and purpose. When you take a laboratory rat, and try to get it to run on a piece of exercise equipment, like a treadmill, it will actually squat down on its haunches in protest until the treadmill starts to wear the fur and skin right off of its backside.
Oh, no.
It will. It feels our pain. And when we look at a piece of exercise equipment, there are little circuits in the back of our brain that are basically screaming out to us, don't do it. Don't get up on that thing because you're not going anywhere. It doesn't have a purpose. It doesn't have meaning. And so for the person who's bold enough and brave enough to sell their car, well, now they have lots of need for physical activity just to get from one place to another. So it's a radical solution, but I think it's also a very elegant solution. But there are other solutions out there. In the interest of full disclosure, I still have a car, and yet I manage typically to work in at least an hour of physical activity into my routine every day.
Hmm. And Eric Brende, you're a trained musician, a pianist, fairly accomplished, it sounds like, and you use musical metaphors to describe some of the meaningful work and working together and social connections that you build up while doing that in this Amish-like community. Could you describe that?
Well, yeah, I'd say that one of the beautiful things about the kind of farm labor that these Amish yeomen still practice is that you can liken it to an almost symphonic experience, with the exercise of performing the role of the rhythm section, or the lower parts of the orchestra. It forms a kind of, and the musical term would be obbligato. It's a repetitive kind of a drum beat, kind of an accompaniment, and overlaid on top of that, you have the melody of conversation or bird song or idle banter or just enjoying nature. And it's a many-layered experience. And there's two things about that many-layered experience that make it so much superior to the fragmented kind of desperate attempt on our part today to recover that through exercise machines or quality time scheduled here and there. And the two things are, one, you're delivered so much more simultaneously, so it's more efficient. You're getting your exercise, your social life, your experience of the outdoors, your experience of sunlight, all at once. It's simultaneous, so it's much more efficient than doing it piecemeal. Secondly, and perhaps equally importantly, it's the experience is richer, it's fuller than the kind of diluted experience you get sitting in front of a television set or going to a gym where you're there just doing the exercise. There is very little social contact. So that combination just makes it very potent, and I'm sure that's why the Amish have one-tenth the depression. And I do mention that in my book, Better Off, Flipping the Switch on Technology. Somewhere in there, I mentioned the study by Janice Egeland that pointed that out, that the Amish have one-tenth the rate of depression the rest of us do. And it comes up in a conversation when we're on the hay wagon. We're talking about depression itself, one of the many conversations I cite in the book. And by the way, can I digress 1 minute? One reason I almost didn't make it onto this show today, I was out practicing the depression cure with my children. We were working outside on this deck that I've been working on for 2 years, and we were having a great social experience. I was enjoying the sunlight, getting the exercise, chatting with my 13-year-old daughter who was helping me paint the deck, and the phone, which I had kept strapped to my belt, fell off from the second story and landed upside down in a pan of paint.
Oh, dear.
So sometimes it can be counterproductive if you're trying to get on talk radio shows to be out there doing the depression cure. But anyway,
we rely pretty heavily on technology in this show, I'm afraid. So Steve Velarde, I'm wondering, you know, as I think through the people I know, I would have a hard time saying who has clinical depression and who doesn't, or saying that I know many people who have clinical depression. Could someone like Eric Brende, living in this sort of community, what sort of observations could he make on the relative mental health of people around him versus in Boston without going through, you know, detailed clinical interviews?
So in other words, just you want to have a little heuristic, some rules of thumb for helping him think about, hey, were there folks that had depression?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I would say is a hallmark of depression is it tends to activate circuits in the brain that cause us to want to withdraw socially. They're the same circuits that activate when we're fighting an infectious illness. So in other words, when we have a bad case of the flu, we tend to pull away from everyone around us. And of course, this is an evolved adaptation to prevent us from spreading contagious illness. Mm. Well, those same circuits get engaged in depression, and people who would otherwise want to socialize, we find them pulling away, we see them shutting down, we see often sad mood, but sometimes people can put on a happy face, but it's just an uncharacteristic type of shutting down and withdrawal.
Mm. And Eric Brende, your comments on that, any observations?
Well, I'd say that in the community where I was, there were actually two or three people who did have clinical depression.
Mm.
And I knew that because I had some inside information. I lived with them long enough that, and I recognized it because of the way they talked. They had a certain way of shuffling their sounds that gave away the fact they were taking antidepressants.
Hmm.
But I think that the reason they had it was because it was genetic. I don't think it was environmentally caused.
Hmm.
So they still get depression, bipolar depression, at the same rate as the rest of the population.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, it can be rather confusing because bipolar illness, which only afflicts about 1% to 2% of Americans, unlike unipolar depression, which is the most common form, which afflicts about 25% of Americans, bipolar is heavily genetic. It is influenced by environmental factors. So in other words, it's a combination. It's a diathesis stress reaction. It's environment plus genetics. But it's absolutely true that the Amish do have a rate of bipolar illness that's about the same as the rest of the population, and it can involve a sort of shutting down that very much looks like clinical depression.
Hmm. Well, we're going to learn more about Eric Brende's year and a half with an Amish-like community in just a minute. And Steve Velarde, I want to thank you for your time talking about the Depression Cure, six-step program to beat depression without drugs. When we get this audio up on the EqualTimeRadio.com website, we'll have a link to your website. Do you have any final comments for us, Steve Velarde?
Well, I really just greatly appreciate what Eric's brought to this discussion. I think it's fascinating to hear about his insights, and the most valuable thing is just to hear what you said, that year of living the way our bodies and our brains are designed to live, that was the happiest year of your life, the most fulfilling. And I think it really just validates the entire premise that we weren't designed for modern life, and that the best we can do to reclaim those protective factors, that will, in fact, protect us from depressive illness and will also help fight any depression that we may be suffering from in the moment. So thank you very much for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. Thank you, Steve. And we'll be back with more conversation about Eric Brende's year and a half living amongst the Amish-like community he was with and his reflections on it in just a minute. I'm Carl Etnair. You're listening to Equal Time. We'll be right back.